Today we're going to continue reading from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament. Last week we read from the first part of Acts 16. Acts tells the stories about the early church and the early spread of Christianity. Now last week we read about Paul and Silas encountering a woman named Lydia who ended up inviting them into her home, and Lydia becomes the first Christian from the continent of Europe that's recorded in the scriptures. So today we're going to be reading about Paul and Silas encountering another woman. But this encounter is going to raise all sorts of questions, and it's going to challenge some economic systems, and it's also going to lead to a lot of transformation in some lives. So let us listen as Jennifer comes and reads from Acts 16.
One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them there before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord.
"Can you hear me?" screamed Darcy as she tried one last time to breathe life into her friend. Startled, she felt a warm body next to her who said, "It's too late. She's dead." After wiping the last tear from her cheek, Darcy stood next to her friend, shivering as the two little hedgehogs leaned into the wintry wind. "How many does that make this year?" Darcy asked, doing her best not to break up. "I don't know. I've lost track," said her friend. "Seven, eight." "Damn it. This has got to stop," said Darcy. "If the rest of us want to see spring, we need to bundle together at night to keep warm." Despite wanting to argue with their prickly leader, the rest of the hedgehogs didn't complain when Darcy laid down the orders that night. The next morning, Darcy woke up and made her rounds, and she was ecstatic to see that all of her friends were accounted for. However, as soon as she finished the roll call, chaos ensued. "I didn't sleep a wink," said one. "Me neither," said another. Another piped up and said, "I can't count the number of times that I was pricked through the night." The hedgehogs knew what was at stake. But the very next night, instead of sleeping as a pack, some of the hedgehogs crept off because they didn't want to be annoyed by their companions. The next morning, the hedgehogs were met with an all-too-familiar sound of Darcy's screams. "Todd! Todd! Where are you? Can you hear me?" And once again, Darcy's screams were met with nothing but silence. "How many of us do we have to lose before you will listen to me?" Darcy screamed at the crowd of hedgehogs. "Sleeping together sucks, and being pricked all night drives me nuts. But finding another hedgehog dead is way too much." "Until the last flake of snow melts, we are sleeping together. End of discussion. And if you don't like it, you can leave right now." The rest of the hedgehogs were silent, and none of them left. "Good," shouted Darcy. "When the sun starts going down tonight, everybody come in here and let's bundle up close together so that we can stay warm." Over the next few days, the hedgehogs were grumpy. They were groggy, but they were still alive. Finally, on the fourth day of sleeping together, one of the older hedgehogs said, "You know, it's not really that bad." Another one said, "Yeah, you're right. It's really not that bad being together and sleeping together." Another one said, "Yeah, you know, I don't even notice it anymore, being pricked by my neighbors." Months later, the hedgehogs were spotted playing in the green fields of May. Despite the coldest winter in years, every single one of them was accounted for. Darcy was quite annoying to the other hedgehogs, demanding that they bundle together through the cold and snowy winter months. None of the prickly hedgehogs wanted to snuggle with the others. It was uncomfortable. It meant a loss of freedom. But Darcy annoyed them into looking out for each other, because by caring for one another, they were all able to survive the deadly winter. In today's text, we encounter someone who is described as annoying. We are told that Paul and Silas meet an enslaved girl who is possessed by an evil spirit. And what is disgusting about this encounter is that this girl is abused by others who use her deformity in order to make money for themselves. The girl, though, cries out. For several days, she shouts out and draws attention to Paul and Silas. And Paul is described as very much annoyed by this girl. So much so that he turns toward the evil spirit and says, "Get out of her!" And that's what happens. The evil spirit disappears so that she is no longer able to be a fortune teller. Well, that didn't sit real well with the guys that were making money off of her deformity. They seize Paul and they Silas, and they take them before the government authorities. They testify to the authorities that Paul and Silas are ruining their way of life. Not only that, there's some anti-Semitism there, because they say they are Jews. You know, religion is fine until it gets in the way of people and their ill-deserved money, ill-gotten money. So Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. It's what usually happens when people kind of don't have a lot of resources and they struggle and speak out against the status quo. They are thrown into the darkest part of the prison, even. Get rid of them. Quiet them. Keep them down there below. But Paul and Silas, they don't lament what's happened to them. Instead, they lift up songs of worship. Worship as an act of resistance. And God hears their praise and prayers, apparently, because suddenly there is an earthquake and their chains are broken. The jailer is terrified and he threatens to kill himself because he knows that the Roman authorities are going to hold him responsible if the prisoners escape, and he is scared and he thinks the only way out is to take his own life. So he cries out to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas convince him that suicide is not the answer. Instead, faith in Jesus Christ is the answer and the way to move forward. So then Paul and Silas provide the jailer and his family baptism and a new perspective on all that has happened. Darcy the hedgehog was annoying to the other hedgehogs because she knew that survival depended upon those hedgehogs joining together. The enslaved girl was annoying because she knew that her freedom from oppression depended upon her being annoying to Paul and Silas. So now the question is for us. What are we willing to be annoying about? What are you willing to be a nuisance to someone else over because you have been called by God to do something to make an impact over something that needs to be changed? Are you called to be annoying to our legislators to do something tangible to save the lives of children killed by gun violence, or do we continue to settle for thoughts and prayers and no action? Are you called to be annoying on this Memorial Day for the family members of our deceased veterans who need support and medical care and maybe health insurance? Are you called to be annoying to the powerful people that you are aware of that are getting rich by taking advantage of innocent people like the owners of the girl enslaved? What are you called to be annoying about? On this Memorial Day weekend, we see lots of flags. We live in a great country. We are blessed with so much in this country. But don't let our greatness keep us from being annoying. Don't allow ourselves within the Christian church to be co-opted into simply supporting the status quo. Instead, may the red stripes on the American flag be a reminder of the blood that was shed to protect our freedoms, but also to remind us of the innocent blood being shed by too many children and adults today from senseless gun violence. We are not called to be silent in the face of violence and oppression. We are called to be annoying. And being annoying probably will not be well received. Remember that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for challenging the powerful. But God liberated them so that they could keep being annoying. Keep your eyes open to what God is revealing to you, and then go and really be annoying in order to correct the wrongs that God is revealing to you. And when you hit roadblocks and resistance, because you will, remember that God creates earthquakes so that important voices continue to be heard and that the chains are broken away. May God bless you in your calling to be annoying. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we pray that you give us the strength and the wisdom and the guidance of where and how to be annoying where we are called to be, so that we follow the example set by Paul and Silas and their wisdom and their courage and their faithfulness. Holy God, we lift up all these prayers to your Son's name. Amen. Let us continue.